God, you're always there. You're always there for us. You're so quick to forgive. You are gracious and compassionate, full of mercy. Oh, Lord, no matter what, you're quick to run and grab us in your arms. Hold us close to your heart. Wash us clean so that all the things we do or fall short on, you cause them to fall into the depths of the sea where they're completely forgotten by you, and you want us to forget them. Oh, we thank you for that. You are so gracious. You are so good. We love you. We love you. We love you back. We love you back. We hug you back. We thank you, Lord, that you don't withhold any good thing from your children. Oh, God, we love you. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want to thank the Lord for the things that he's done this week. We went to Hastings Tuesday night. Pastor Jack and Ray and myself, we went there Tuesday night and ministered to 15 boys. And then we went again yesterday and ministered to about 40 boys and the staff. And what the Lord is doing there. It is, I just thank him for what he's doing. We have revival. Revival is breaking out in that youth academy. The Spirit of God is moving so mightily. I'll just give you a couple of little snippets, or it would take the whole service to just tell you what he's doing there. Tuesday night, the Holy Spirit just came upon me, and he began giving me words of knowledge for every single one of the boys. And as Pastor Jack and Ray went around and laid hands on them, the glory of God fell on these boys. Every single one of them, I said, how many of you felt like I was reading your mail when I prayed over you and proclaimed what God gave me? Everyone raised their hands, and the things that God showed me. One boy, I went to him, I saw his hands, and the Lord spoke to me and said that he had gifts in his hands and talents in his hands, and that his gift was going to make a way for him. Afterwards, I asked him, I said, what is the gift you have in your hands? He said, I don't know, I'm just really good with my hands. I said, that's it. Whether it's a mechanic or a carpenter or whatever, he said, I'm really good with my hands. I said, you go with it. You go with it. That's the gift God's given you, and that gift is going to open doors for you. And then another boy, as he sat over here, I looked at him and I saw the Lord washing his feet. That boy, I didn't know it because I never saw him before. He's new. He was overwhelmed with guilt and shame. And what the Lord told me to tell him was that what he had done was not so bad. Not so bad. That he got his feet dirty. That he had made some mistakes. You know how Jesus washed the feet of the disciples? Well, this is what he was doing. And he said, and Peter said, wash me completely, Jesus. Head to toe. He says, you've already been made clean. You just need your feet washed. So as we go through life, sometimes we make mistakes. And we don't need to be washed from head to toe. We don't need to get re-saved. We just need him to come and wash away some of the dirt that we get on us. And this is what he was saying to this boy. He was saying to him, I'm washing your feet off of you. And this thing that has come upon you, it was almost became his identity. His sin became his identity. And the Lord told me to tell him that no longer would people look at him and see the wrong that he had done, but that God was going to move on people's hearts. That when they looked at him, his family and all that went around him, they would see the good in him. And no longer would they be focused on those things, those flaws and those mistakes he had made. And the people were going to accept him for who he was. This boy melted in the arms of God. Just right before my eyes, melted. One after another after another. Those are just a couple, but it was just so powerful. To hear, just I just stepped aside and let the Holy Spirit minister through me to them. And I'm listening to what God is saying to them and just being awestruck by it. I have no clue what God is going to say. He's just speaking it. And then we went Saturday, and as I began to speak, I looked over and I saw this boy sitting here, another one, a new one, brand new. There's a lot of new boys there. And it's so incredible because usually it takes months to get them up and moving and saved and on fire for God. I mean, it's happening immediately now, immediately. So here's this boy sitting there, and the Lord spoke to me and told me that he was full of fear. And I saw him like looking behind his back, wondering when this thing was going to happen to him. So fearful. And I said, the Lord's showing me that you have a fear that something bad is going to happen to you. And the Lord wants you to know that I was talking about letting God be your God and letting God really take control of your life and giving him everything. I said, as you enter into this word today and as you do this, the Lord told me to tell you that no longer will you be filled with fear. This is for us right now. The Lord's quickening this word to you. Any of you that have fear in your heart about issues, about problems, about health issues, God's saying, as you allow me to be your God, as you leave this service today, no longer will that fear be upon you, but you will have faith and you will have hope. Thank you, Lord. So as I spoke that, and we continued, and I had some words for some other boys, and then I looked, and this boy's with his hand up. He had his hand raised. And I said, yes. His name's Joseph. I said, yes. And he said, before you came and spoke to me, I have a heart problem. And I was worrying that I was going to die from that heart problem. And I was full of fear. I was so afraid. And then you came over and spoke that to me. He was undone. Then we worshiped, and as we worshiped, the Lord spoke to me and told me, go pray for him, I'm going to heal him. So I went over to him and prayed for his heart. Lord Jesus, I command, receive this now, Ray, it's for you too. I command the resurrection power of Jesus to come to your heart. Everybody that's got any problems with your heart, just receive this right now. In the name of Jesus, I command your heart to be strengthened. I command your heart to be made whole, like a new heart, a heart transplant. Be given in the name of Jesus. Every heart, the physical heart, and God's saying right now, hearts that have been wounded. Some of you have hearts that your physical heart is okay, but you've got some wounds in your heart that he's saying right now, I command those wounds in your heart to be healed. Be it from the abuse and the neglect and the mistreatment of others, I command hearts be healed. Just let him heal your heart. Just let him heal your heart. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. And then the amazing thing that happened was that as I went around later on and was praying over the boys, I came to Joseph. And Joseph said, could you please pray for me because I want to be a Christian rapper. I write rap, and I want to be a rapper. So I said, sure. So I prayed, and the Lord told me that he wasn't going to elevate him to that position until he worked on his character first, because if he didn't have godly character, that gift would just take him out. And I told him that. I said, God's going to make you into his image first. And so then I asked him, I said, would you like to rap for us? And he got up and he sang. This was at the end. They were having their ice cream at this point. We do an ice cream social on Saturdays. So they have a service and then they have all the ice cream sundaes they can eat and soda. And so he got up, and he sang a rap. I gave him the microphone. He sang this rap. And there was one boy sitting in the back that was very difficult to reach. He was being like, all the others are all entered in, but this one kid. Do you know when this kid got up and rapped, and he rapped the word of God? He even rapped about not taking glory from God and giving God all the glory. I was in awe at the truth. The scriptural truth that this boy was proclaiming over everybody. He must have been raised in the church and then backslid. This kid in the back he was singing along with this kid. And he got right into it. Now God used his peer to touch him. God's awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. And then I'll give you one other thing, then we'll get into the word. This staff, we have a new staff that's been helping us like the last month and a half. And when the first week he was there, watching what we were doing. He came up to you. Do you want to tell them what he said to you?
I'll have to paraphrase a little bit because my memory isn't as good as it used to be. But this guy was absolutely awestruck. He'd never seen anything like that before in his life. He could not believe the change that's been taking place in the dorms with the boys. And just on and on. You know, he just totally shocked. This week, he was on with us again. He's raising his arms, singing the songs, encouraging the boys to worship and take part. And we could have went home and he could have done it. You know, he was doing that good. All right, totally amazing. And when we get a house church going, come to find out he lives like a half a mile from where we live, and he's going to be there. All right, so.
Yeah, it was, he said he's seen a lot of groups come in and go and minister to the boys, or he said, but none of them, they just kind of occupy their time. But he said, what we're doing there is impacting those boys, and he's seeing them change right before his eyes. And he came up to me after. He says, you know, when we're singing, I get goosebumps all over me. And he said, can you let me know what, I had given the song sheets, we had song booklets, can I have the words to the song so I can sing them in the car on my way home? I said, sure. And so then at the end, he came up to me and asked me the names of the songs because he was going to get them somehow and who the artists were that sang them. And he's going to be worshiping. I am in awe of God. I am in awe of God. So wonderful. He needed a life change, that young man. And Gus had him come up because he was so outstanding. So Gus got up and spoke, and Gus had him come up, and he gave him one of his gold coins with Jesus, the Last Supper in the hands of Jesus, and he explained it to him in front of the boys. The boys were all sitting and listening carefully, and this young man spoke to the boys and told them how much he loved them, how much this was his greatest job he ever had. He loves working there. He loves ministering to the boys. He says, sometimes you might think I'm green. I don't know what green means. But he says, well, not that. It was a different meaning to it than what we would think green means. It's got to be a kid slang term now. And he's telling them, but he says, I love you. He could have felt the love pouring off of him onto the kids and from the kids pouring onto him. God did something sovereign right there. Because usually they resent the guards because they're telling them what to do and they don't want to do what the God's telling them. And this, it was like we stepped into a realm of heaven yesterday in that place. The love of God just being poured out profusely from the kids to God, from God to the kids, and then from the staff to the kids back and forth. I can only tell you, we've been crying out and crying out for revival, for God to pour his spirit out. He's doing it. He's doing it. And it is so wonderful to see the marvels that he's performing. I told you a week ago Tuesday, one of the boys was healed from anxiety and depression right there at the Tuesday night service. Came on last Saturday and gave a testimony of how he suffered from anxiety and depression all his life. Brand new. I never saw him before. Gave him the word of knowledge, and he said that he got up and he told the boys, I never met her. I never saw her. She came to me and told me, you have anxiety and depression. God's going to heal you. He said, after she prayed, I have not felt any anxiety or depression since. God is good. This is what God is doing. He just speaks his word. We speak it, and he performs it. God, you are so awesome. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to start with a scripture in John. You could shut the door. I'll do it. Do you know how to do it? Okay, yeah, somebody could shut the music off. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I'm going to read from John chapter 12, verse 24. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts today. God's been speaking to me about God being our God. That's what I spoke to the boys about yesterday. And what it means for to let God be our God and not to have any other God in our lives and just him. And this is John chapter 12, verse 24. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And I know that Jesus was referring to us, but I also know he was referring to himself. He's getting ready to go to the cross. And he's saying, if I don't die, I'm not going to produce the fruit that God wants to produce, my Father wants to produce through my life. I have to die. And then once I die, then fruit's going to come forth. And when we put a seed in the ground, that seed dies, that seed rots. And as it dies, so to speak, all of a sudden it begins to sprout and grow and grows the plant. So Jesus is saying, this is what I have to do, but he said, I'm telling you, this is what you have to do too. Unless you die to yourself, you die to what you want. If you don't die, you won't produce any fruit. You have to let me be God. I'm going to read that again. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. Do we want to be fruitful? Do we want to bear fruit? If we just keep going along the way we're going along, we're just not going to bear any fruit. We have to get buried. We have to die to ourselves. Die to my wants, my will, my wishes, my desires, my way of doing things. If we don't die to that, then don't kid yourselves. We're walking along alone like a seed, and we'll never bear any fruit. And God says, I will be glorified if you bear fruit. Jesus taught us, I think it's in John 17, that it's to the Father's delight that we are very fruitful. Be fruitful and multiply. God's telling us, multiply, multiply. Wherever you go, make disciples of all nations. Bring others into my kingdom. Be fruitful. That's what he's talking about with fruitfulness. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. If it dies, that's the key there. We got to die to ourselves. And is that easy? No. No. Was it easy for Jesus to go to the cross? No. It was so hard. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it. Jesus is saying, if you love your life, I love my life, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I want this, and I want that, and my life is all about me. My wants, my ways. He says, you're going to lose it. If you go through life like that, you will lose your life. But he says, while the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Do you see? We have to get to the point where not my will, flesh, you die. You are not dictating what I do today, flesh. I'm going to serve the Lord God Almighty, and I'm going to do what he wants. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Now listen to this. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. What's Jesus telling us today? Follow me. Don't follow your own desires. I talked yesterday to the boys about, we sang the song, Our God, just like this morning we did. Who's your God? I said to them, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Who's your God? Who do you lean on? Who do you rely on? Who do you depend on? Who do you look to for the answers, the help, the strength that you need? truly, who do you? When something goes wrong, do you run and reach for the phone to call someone, or do you run to your God? Who's your God? Who's your God? Huh? What are you depending on? What are you trusting in? Are you trusting in your bank account? Or are you trusting in your daddy, your God, to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory? I know when we went and ministered in Croatia after the war ended there, we were ministering there, and a wonderful, wonderful woman I met, and she had worked so hard all her life. It was really hard-working woman, and saved and saved and saved. And when the war broke out, the government went into the people's bank accounts, this is in Croatia, and took every cent she had. So this is what she depended on, her bank account. She had to learn to depend on God, that God would supply all of her needs, that he would provide for her. And one of the times, I never realized this, but she did get radically saved and on fire for God, and she was a wonderful help to us and let us stay in her home while we were doing missionary work there. And before our last trip there ended, I went to the store, the Holy Spirit prompted me, and bought her everything that you could imagine. As I went through the store, a new microwave, pots and pans, utensils, I mean, just had them delivered to her house. And it just didn't dawn on me, but it was because now she trusted in God and not her bank account, and so God supplied all of her needs, and he used a person and a ministry to pour it through unto her life. Cool? So as we put our trust in him, okay, that hooks us up with him. That hooks us up with his provision, and he brings that provision forth his way. He might use our bank account. He might deposit money in our bank account. But he also might use some other means to bless us and prosper us. There's so many things he wants to do for us, but he can't do it unless we allow him to be our God. I had a vision yesterday when I was praying, and in this vision it has stayed with me, and it just really, to me, speaks this message so clearly. I saw a graveyard, big graveyard, and there were crosses on this graveyard, but the crosses were made of flowers. And as I looked at this graveyard, I saw that most of the crosses were laying over on their side. But there was a cross, and it was made with white flowers, and there was light shining on it. And all of a sudden, I saw Jesus, all in white, come walking forward from the cross, just walking forward, all beautiful. And I asked the Lord, what does this mean? And he showed me, he said, for those who truly live surrendered lives, who let me be their God, who aren't their own God. This is what he was talking to me about. And then when I was ministering to the boys at Hastings, I told them, most of you boys are all here because God wasn't your God, you were your God. You did what you wanted, your way. And you were your own God. And this is what happened. It was a word from the Lord, and it was just silence. It took your breath away. Because it was such a revelation that God was bringing forth that revelation instantly to them and to me. I never saw it like that before. We can't do that. We can't let anything else be in control of our lives, because whatever is in control of our lives, in control of our thoughts, whatever we're dependent upon, whatever we're serving, that has to provide for us. That thing is our God, and that has to provide for us. I don't care what it is. Think of those things that are really important in your life. The Red Sox winning the World Series. Is that going to provide for me? I like watching the Red Sox. Now, we all have little things, you know, but if they become big things and they overtake our lives, that's our God. Playing video games, that's our God. Is that going to provide for you? Is watching movies and watching television day and night, is that going to provide for us? Is that going to heal us? Is that going to bring in everything we need? If it's our God, then it has to. It won't. It won't. Or are we our own God? Are we our own God? We're saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Nobody's telling me what to do. I want to do what I want to do. Today I'm doing this. Tomorrow I'm doing that. I'm going to get that. I'm going to do this. Who's the God in that person's life? They are. And we do. We live like that. We can fall into it. We can fall into it. So I'm get back to the vision. So then the Lord showed me that at one point that this was a cemetery that represented Christians that had laid down their lives for God. Jesus, come and live in my heart. I give you my life. I'm going to follow you. You're my God, and I'm your daughter. I'm your son. I'm going to live for you forever. They died to themselves. Now here's the cemetery. They died. Well, some of them, after they died, decided they didn't want to stay dead. And they got up out of the ground. And as they got up out of the ground to live their life, they knocked the cross over. That's why I saw all these crosses laying on the side. Yeah. I was like, Only the ones that continued to faithfully die to themselves and let Christ live through them was that white cross with Jesus walking. So here's Jesus. This person was totally sold out. Here's Jesus walking, living through that person, accomplishing the things that we read in Mark, the last chapter in Mark. Go into all nations, heal the sick, raise the dead. That the people that are totally dead to themselves, living for Christ, powerful lives, powerful lives. Their shadows healing the sick, because it's not their shadow. It's Jesus who's possessing them, who's living through them, because they're dead. His shadows healing the sick. Going in the grocery store, going in Walmart, helping people no matter where they go. Wherever Jesus went, the marketplace, wherever he went, he healed the sick, he raised the dead. Crowds followed him because they knew he was going to do wonderful things. He says, I want to do it again, but I need some dead people. I need some people that will stay dead to themselves so that I can live through them. This morning what we're going to do is we're going to get back into worship. And we usually what we do at this point, we come up, put our offering in the basket, and take communion back to our seats. But we're going to take a minute and stand there at the altar and just recommit ourselves to be completely his. Just like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. God, not my will, but thy will be done. If it's possible for this cup to pass from me, Father, let it pass from me, but not my will. Because this life I live is not my life. It belongs to you, Father. I do only the things I see my Father do. We've got to rededicate ourselves to living our life truly for God, not for ourselves. It can't even be part of our thinking what I want. We've got to develop a new way of thinking. Our thinking is going to be, God, what do you want? I gave you my life. I'm dead. What do you want? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say right now to this person? Minute by minute, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. We're the sons and we're the daughters of God. If we're being led by the Holy Spirit, if we're not, if we're doing what we want, we can't kid ourselves. We're our own. We don't belong to him. We got to get back into that habit of getting before God when we're going to make a decision. God, what do you want me to do? God reminded me when I was ministering yesterday of a scripture about Israel. And the king of Israel was being attacked by other nations. And so this king went to Egypt to get help. And the Lord was so angry with him. He said, you are relying upon Egypt. Like, and it is a sharp walking stick in your hand. The other gods and the idols that we run to for help, they're no more than a sharp, pointed walking stick. Picture a cane that you're going to lean on, but it's not curved. It's a sharp point piercing your hand. God says, that's what these other idols and these other things you rely on. They didn't run to God and say, God, help us. What do you want us to do? They ran to Egypt. Will you please, we'll make an alliance with you. Will you help us? And God was very angry with them for that. So let's make a determination to understand who God is, what he wants. He wants to be our God. That means he wants to be in complete control of our lives. God's kind of a control freak, but a good one. He wants to control our lives so we'll be successful, so we'll be prosperous, so we'll be blessed, and so we'll be all his. So he can provide for us like a good father provides for his dutiful child. That's the desire of God's heart. But it's up to us if we live in that way, that we live within, in total surrender and submission to him. God, I just want you to rule over my life, over my mind, my heart, my actions, my finances, everything in my life. Let's just pray this right now. Just bow your heads. Lord God, everything in my life, I surrender to you. I declare, God, you're my God. You are my God. And every other idol that I've been bowing my knee before or going to for help or expecting to provide for me, God, I put them at your feet right now. I put the idols of friendships. I put the idols of relationships. I put the idols of my bank account, my job, everything. My desires, I put them at your feet right now. I put the idol of myself, ruling my own life, making my own decisions, doing things my way. I put that at your feet right now, Father. And I say, Father, today I'm all yours. I'm all yours. I won't go to the left or to the right until I check in with you which way you want me to go. Because it's not my life, it's yours. I've died. I'm dead. This life doesn't belong to me anymore. I've given it to you. I'm not going to take it back and start getting hold of the reins of my life and go in the direction I want to go from now on. I'm going to let you have the reins. And I'm going to check in with you. Which way do you want me to go, Father? What do you want me to do, Father? What seems right to men isn't always right. That which is good isn't always God. We've got to get clear direction from him. And Father, we know that as we come before you and we ask you for help, you will show us and make it absolutely clear to us the direction you want us to go. Many times we shrink back from seeking God and getting direction for our lives because we think we won't hear from him. That's God's job, to let us hear his voice. Can God do it? Oh, you bet. And he won't just speak it once. He'll confirm it over and over and over so that we know without a doubt that what we're doing is absolutely what he wants us to do. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand. We're going to worship him. And as we come up, if you have an offering, you can put it in the basket. I'll pray for it. If you don't worry about it. The most important thing today is that we ourselves personally say, God, here I am. Here's my life.